Dr. Kevin Most joins us here on WGN, again, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, you're on the air. How are you today?
Good morning, John. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. What's the number one myth people have about the vaccine?
Wow. You know, there's so many myths, but I guess probably the biggest one is that we rushed through this and that it's not safe. And that's probably the one that's making most people hold back a little bit. And we need to make sure that they're reassured that that's not the case.
I think people are also, I don't know that it's a myth, but they're very curious. And we've answered it before. Let's answer it again. If I get the vaccine, then do I not have to wear a mask? Am I immune from giving the vaccine as well?
Yeah. So the answer to that one is, you will still need to wear a mask. So we do not know whether the vaccine will protect you from an infection or will protect you from symptoms. So the AstraZeneca vaccine had tested to make sure that it would prevent you from infection. In other words, that the virus would still be in the back of your throat and replicating, but not causing any symptoms that you might have. Similar to what you've probably heard of people who are strep carriers. They have an infection, and yet they really don't know that they do because they have no symptoms. We don't know that yet. We won't know that for a couple of months, but that's going to be okay because it's as we roll it out. By the time we get to rolling it out to the general public, we should have a very good idea as to whether or not masks will be needed after that.
Well, then that doesn't sound like a vaccine to me. If it's making you asymptomatic, but you could still have an active virus, you could still be transmitting it?
Sure. So you got to remember that the reason for the vaccine is to prevent your health, you know, to protect your health. So it's to prevent people to go into the hospital, to prevent them from getting pneumonia, to prevent them from getting kidney failure, heart failure, any of those issues. So if the body can keep the virus in check to a point where it's not getting to the point of making symptoms and not impacting other tissues, then that's a success. If we say, well, wait a second, you're still going to say it's going to spread, but if we have herd immunity where everyone has been vaccinated or has some immunity, then that's not a concern. We still see strep going around. We still see influenza going around, but we're going to make sure that we get this under control, and we'll be able to do that with vaccinations.
Doctor, it makes it sound like the vaccine is the reverse of the mask. I wear the mask for you, but the vaccine primarily, at least the thinking now is, will be for me.
Yep, exactly. And again, we don't know that, but if you look at the AstraZeneca, which did a small portion of it, they showed that that the vaccine pretty much eliminates the virus from your body. We wish that Moderna and Pfizer had done that, but this trial, by the time it got into place, their biggest focus was how effective was it going to be in protecting symptoms and protecting patients versus now could it spread. So now that portion of the study, along with studying pediatrics and studying individuals who may be pregnant, those are the secondary studies that will now start to be rolled out, especially as we immunize millions of people versus just a small portion.
If I had the COVID-19 already, I don't need the vaccine. What do you say to that?
Well, right now we're saying that to healthcare workers that have tested positive for COVID in the past, we're going to ask you to wait 90 days before you get the vaccine.
Wow.
The supply for vaccine obviously is outstripping the demand. We have a lot more people who want to get it. We know that those who have had COVID, you have immunity. How long does it last? We know it lasts at least 90 days based on the people that we've been able to track. So we're certainly going to be asking people, if their demand is there for the vaccine, to please wait if you've been assured a positive COVID test in the past and have, you know, recovered from that. We're still going to have plenty of vaccine in the future, but we're trying to protect as many people as we can. And those of you who have had COVID, you have some protection right now.
I don't want to spend a lot of time debunking all of the crazy myths, like there's a chip in there and Bill Gates will now be tracking you. If you're worried about that, I'm not sure I can help you. That's not true. But some people are wondering about the coronavirus vaccine altering your DNA. I mean, if it's messenger RNA I'm putting in there, does that maybe change my genetic makeup, my DNA?
No, impossible. So that's something, you know, when they hear RNA and they hear DNA and they start to say, oh my gosh, we're going to be mingling our genetics. It's not. If you want to get down to the cellular level, our DNA sits within the nucleus of all of our cells. where this messenger RNA is going to be is in the cytoplasm, the material that surrounds the nucleus, will not get into the nucleus, cannot get into where the DNA is. That is protected, and this messenger RNA cannot get in there. So people who are concerned about the genetic crossovers or anything like that, impossible to happen with messenger RNA, will be nowhere near the DNA that's protected in the nucleus of each of our cells.
Kevin, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern.
Yes.
Hi, Kevin.
Would there be any reason for thinking about getting both vaccines if the AstraZeneca is better at one, at like eliminating it, but one's better at transmitting it?
Yeah, Kevin, so the question there is actually going to be more of what subset is going to do better with which vaccine, and we don't know that yet. So we don't know, are we going to say that the Hispanic population will do better with Pfizer, or those with heart disease are going to do better with Moderna? We don't know that yet because it hasn't been tested on enough people. It's going to take us a full cycle to show the efficacy and how effective it is in subsets of the population. As far as saying, will two vaccines help me more than one? Probably not, especially when we're looking at 95% protection rate. Even if you got both of them, you're only going to gain a very small, minuscule part.
But I like your thinking there, Kevin. Should pregnant women get this vaccine?
Well, that's the bad thing. You know, pregnant women and children were not tested, and that's not uncommon with a lot of vaccines. We feel that it's very safe, so we're asking all of them to please have the discussion with their obstetrician or their family medicine doctor or their internist as to whether or not to get it. But really, it should have no harm to the fetus or to the mother. It just hadn't been tested in this limited study.
Steve, what was your question for the doctor? Steve wanted to know what he should do to minimize his symptoms if he does test positive.
Yeah, you know, we're telling everybody pretty much the same thing. Push your fluids, rest, do the same things that you do with any viral infection. Yeah. This time of the year, I'm encouraging people to make sure they take their vitamin D supplement because we're not getting vitamin D because we're inside. Some other people are really pushing zinc as well. And then a lot of people are also pushing a baby aspirin because of some of the clotting that we're seeing with COVID patients. So we're seeing a lot of people with that trifecta of vitamin D, zinc, and a baby aspirin. Hasn't been tested, but the background and the thought process certainly makes sense.
Our Dean Richards, who's recovering, said those very things. I believe you told them those, and it makes good sense. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern, over at DuPage Central Hospital. Nice to talk to you as always, Doctor. Well done.
John, take care. We'll talk soon, I'm sure. That's